While many of us enjoy a bountiful holiday season with family and friends this year, hundreds of thousands of people whose lives were changed forever by Hurricane Michael are struggling just to get by day to day. And a lot of people are working very hard to help them. In the Florida Panhandle and in Southwest Georgia, still deeply scarred by the storm, this will be a blue tarp Christmas. I'm Pete Combs, and you're listening to a special report from News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. As you drive along the back roads in the Florida Panhandle, like State Road 20 here in Calhoun County, what you see most, the thing that catches your eye, is the mountain after mountain of debris, whether it's trees that have been cut down or split in half, or siding or roofing or entire houses that have been crushed by the winds of Hurricane Michael. All of this is now piled on the side of the road waiting for somebody to come pick it up. That's the damage you can see.
I feel guilty because I left.
Yolanda Cruz, her husband, and their five children heeded the mandatory evacuation order that went into effect 2 days before Hurricane Michael slammed into the Florida coast. They stayed in Mobile, Alabama, as the storm chewed up homes and businesses, destroyed infrastructure, and left dozens of people dead. The latest toll is 43, a number released November 28th by the Florida Division of Emergency Management. But the death toll only tells part of the story. Hurricane Michael took a toll among the living as well. Take Yolanda, for instance.
I've heard stories where the houses have completely collapsed and 9 people were in a bathroom living there. That's how. I have a cousin that completely lost her whole house but a bathroom she was in. So I feel guilty because my friends stayed and they're having the PS, what is it called?
PTSD.
Yeah.
PTSD.
But if, during the storms, even now that they're having, because they can't handle the wind or the rain.
Yolanda works at a property management company in Callaway with her friend, Belinda Martin. I ask Belinda.
When she says she feels guilty, what do you say to her?
She don't need to feel guilty. She's safe.
Here you can see in Belinda's eyes that she's going back to the safe room at her house, where she, her husband, and their 24-year-old son hunkered down as a tornado embedded in the hurricane's eye wall comes rumbling by. The overhead door begins to buckle. Thinking fast, Ben Martin braces it with several C-clamps. The door holds. But Belinda isn't so sure about her nerves.
Make it go away.
Another thing is at night, there's not a whole lot of street lights.
Oh, it's so dark.
I don't like to go out at night because I don't know where I'm at.
This is another major problem for storm survivors, disorientation.
Places now that you could see where the trees used to be, you didn't even know that that was even there. I used to know the back roads of how to get around things. I don't know how to get around things anymore because the landmarks are gone.
It's unrecognizable.
This sense of the bizarre, of being in an alternate universe, contributes to a lot of the tremendous stress and sadness that grips so many hurricane survivors. Yolanda says her home was completely destroyed. She's lived in 3 different houses since then, each time trying to shepherd her shrinking amount of personal belongings, and most of all, trying to keep her family together.
My oldest daughter lost their home. 8 trees fell on it. And they lost everything. She had a 30-year-old, it was her own toy chest that a friend of ours made for her before she was even born. And it was completely destroyed. She was wanting to pass it down to the kids. And it was, you know, she said, Mom, that's the hardest thing is to see that go away. Is that toy box that you gave me when I was a baby.
At this point, Yolanda can no longer hold back the tears that she's been hiding for so long.
I can't believe. Sorry. Usually I don't do this.
She said that happens a lot.
I guess I have suppressed it down.
I sit here sometimes during the day, and I'm here, and I just don't know.
Well, I don't think about it. This is the first time I really sat down and thought about it. You know, that I have to be strong for my children. You know, I have to be strong for my co-workers, you know, because I'm not going to break down. I'm not.
Because that would do what to them?
It would make them want to take care of me when I'm supposed to take care of them. And my kids are not supposed to take care of me. I'm supposed to take care of them. And I can't let them down.
North of Callaway, in Bainbridge, Georgia, Jose Vidal is a bright face among the rubble.
We are from FEMA.
FEMA?
FEMA. Yep.
Glad to meet you guys. Y'all got checks.
Oh, that's perfect. Yes, sir.
Vidal is one of hundreds of volunteers with the Federal Emergency Management Administration, volunteers who have flooded neighborhoods blasted by Hurricane Michael, trying to spread the word about the help FEMA can deliver in the storm's aftermath. 84-year-old Walter Goodman is an Army veteran of the Vietnam conflict. He's a widower. He's been living alone in this house for 9 years, his only companions, feral cats that crowd around his ankles as he puts out their food every morning. 2 months after Hurricane Michael, Walter still can't use the water in his own house.
They said have a fungus in it.
Was that part of the damage suffered during a hurricane, do you think?
Yes, sir.
So you shouldn't be drinking the water, should you?
No, I don't drink the water. I use bottled water.
Can you bathe with it?
No, I can't bathe with it. I can heat up some water and bathe with it.
The roofs of his house and his detached garage were seriously damaged by Michael, which was still a Category 4 storm when it hit this part of Georgia.
S&S Roofing, they done come and see me 2 or 3 times, and I just waiting for them to make a final decision here and come on and fix it.
Here's the problem. Goodman has a check in his pocket from the insurance company.
Got it in my savings account.
Do you think that check alone is enough to cover you?
Not by a long range. I'm still going to come out of the pocket with maybe $500 or $600.
Did this give you some measure of hope here, these guys?
Hell yeah. They get some good promises, so I check it out.
Jose Vidal is from the government. He's here, hoping to help.
Well, you have damage in your home. Maybe you can get some help from FEMA. Do you have an insurance?
Yes, sir.
Do you file a claim with your insurance company?
Yes, sir.
Did they pay everything?
Yes, sir.
They cover everything?
They sent me a check. I don't know if they're going to pay everything or not.
Oh, that's why. Maybe that's why you need to apply for FEMA assistance. Even if FEMA doesn't duplicate benefits, maybe the insurance doesn't cover some items, and maybe FEMA can do that for you.
Okay, so, where did I go to sign up?
In the first 2 months after Hurricane Michael, there were dozens of FEMA disaster recovery centers in Georgia and Florida set up to get people registered for assistance. But not everyone wants the government's help.
Good morning. How are you doing?
All right. May we help you?
Some of you are is the owner of the house.
What you need?
I'm from FEMA.
Thanks,
FEMA. We are FEMA.
Put anything on FEMA.
Oh, yes?
Nope.
Can I talk?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect.
Go ahead.
Are you the owner?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And my
name
my daughter.
Okay, my name is Jose. She's my partner.
Oh, okay.
She's Lucy.
Yeah,
I can see something happen here. But you have any damage? Yeah, a little damage or something like that?
We had a little bit of the, a few shingles. I don't know where they are.
Okay.
And they blow my rails down on the balcony.
Okay. Okay, did you have an insurance? Did you file on a claim to the insurance company?
We didn't file.
Maybe you can apply for FEMA assistance if you want it, and maybe FEMA can help you.
We don't apply these insurance. They're ridiculous. Just go up on your insurance, you know, and you can't afford it. Deductible, everything happened at one time, you know. They go up on your deductible. They went up on the insurance and everything else.
Yeah, I know.
Still, there are plenty of people who need help from FEMA, but they don't know anything about the program.
Good morning. I'm sorry I bothered you. My name is Jose, my partner Lucy. We are disaster survivor assistance specialists, helping survivors in the field. Have you had you any damage due to the storm, Michael?
That's someone right there.
Oh, wow. I can see it. Yeah, I can see it.
Like her neighbor, Carrie Laster is 84 years old. And like her neighbor, she didn't know FEMA could help with the collapsed ceilings and the growing mold problems in her house resulting from Hurricane Michael.
Just read my Bible. Isn't that a blessing? Just came to me.
FEMA's efforts to get people registered for government help have drawn praise from Georgia Republican State Senator Dean Burke.
One thing that I've been impressed about that was a little bit surprising is how aggressive the FEMA and the Small Business Association folks have been to try to get out in the community. They're trying to get the message out because media is fractured in rural Georgia. I mean, there is not a one source of information anymore. You know, we have radio, we have a local newspaper, we have Facebook, but there is no one source that reaches everybody. And so for them to get their message out, they've had to just try to attack it from a lot of different ways, and they've been doing that, and I was pleased to see that.
Not all damage done by Hurricane Michael was done to homes and businesses. The damage to farms in Florida and Georgia is also devastating.
It's ruined my customers. It's ruined my business. The mental anguish and the worry part of this, I see it still every day, and here we are, the middle of December.
Tommy Dollar is a farmer, a banker, and the owner of Dollar Farm Products, a business that's been in his family since the Great Depression.
The shock of the storm is now gone. Now the worry has set in. People come see me and say, what about my loan at the bank? You know about that. And can y'all work with us, and can y'all extend a payment for a month? I owe you money for some defoliants on my cotton here at Dollar Farm Products in Bainbridge. Can you work with me on that? You know, my cows need some hay, and all my hay got messed up in the barn. People were in shock. That's the easiest way to describe it.
Hurricane Michael is disaster upon tragedy. You see, last year, Hurricane Irma devastated the cotton crop in Georgia. Michael did much the same, and worse.
From a financial point, there's a lot of worry about how good is my bank or my financial institution to be able to work with me, and do they understand? And so that's what I'm trying to do, is help the farm credits and the local banks and the regional banks and the, you know, spread the word and say, hey, you know, we'll work it out, just be patient with it. But, you know, they've got rules and regulations with federal banking laws that they've got to hear to, and I understand that also. We've got to have some cash flow, and we got to turn this money quicker, because those notes are due. And, you know, if you're a bank, if you didn't get paid up from 1 year, how would you feel about loaning some more money for another year, you know, without some help somewhere?
Will there a lot of farms go broke?
We'll have some, yes. I can't define how many.
Initial estimates of crop damage in Georgia alone are more than $2.5 billion. And get this, it's a problem made much worse by the possibility of a partial government shutdown. FEMA won't be affected, but USDA and Small Business Administration help could be delayed for weeks.
That's a multiplier effect. If the government shuts down, it will be a multiplier. Instead of having X happen, we'll have two times X happen. And that's not a good thing.
I'll have more of our special report, A Blue Tarp Christmas, in just a moment. You're listening to News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.